I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Chris Moore.
And we started the Homos on Haunted Hill so that we can throw a party. A horror film party. It'll be quite amusing.
There'll be madmen and chainsaws and ghosts and perhaps even a few murders. You're all invited.
I am new to this country. How dare you bombard me with all these strange words?
I don't know what I just said. I hope I didn't say anything offensive. I just made it up. So I don't know. It's not even a real language. But I want to put our audience in the shoes of poor Julia.
Oh, yeah.
Who is so confused throughout the course of this movie.
And us as audience members sometimes, because they don't give us subtitles, which is brilliant, I think.
It's actually so brilliant. That was the first thing I remember walking out of this movie and thinking was, what a strong, genius choice to not put any subtitles.
Yeah.
And just have most of the people just speaking Romanian, and we're just like Julia. And instantly it endears us to her, because we're like, girl, we know what you're going through. We don't know what's happening. These people are laughing. Are they laughing at us? Did they say a joke that's actually funny? Like, what's happening? What's going on? It's brilliant.
Right.
I love it so much.
Right. Totally.
It's so good. Oh, this movie is just really so strong.
Super solid.
Yeah, it's scary. It's a genuinely scary movie. Like, the first few times we see the Watcher, you know, Watcher, Texas Ranger, he's just like standing there and he's all like backlit. We can't really see his face. Sometimes there's rain on the window, so you can't really see his features that well. It's so fucking scary.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, brilliantly shot, the way they do it.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. And the set choices and these old sort of European, Eastern European apartment buildings that are just kind of dilapidated and that she walks by sometimes, and it just every little choice is fantastic.
Oh, it's just wonderful. It's so good. I almost don't want to talk about it, because I just think everyone should just go out there and see it, because there's like there's no way that we can do it justice here.
But also, just like, it's not like a lot of plot to it, so it's like you kind of have to like see it.
If you just explain the story, people would be like, oh, okay, like, what makes it so special? I'm like, you have to see it. You have to see the performances and the music and the cinematography and just everything, the way it builds and just the dread. This has a great feeling of dread throughout the entire film.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's so uncomfortable. And I just love it so much.
The whole throwback paranoia thriller vibe here is just back to the 60s, and it's great.
Absolutely. It's very like Roman Polanski apartment trilogy with a little bit of sort of Rear Window sometimes I was I got some vibes from the John Carpenter TV movie Somebody's Watching Me.
I can see that.
Or is it Someone's Watching Me? I don't know.
One of those. Take your pick.
Somebody's
watching me.
So people are watching, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, the Rosemary's Baby is like the most obvious one here, with like, you know, the husband and wife, and they move into the apartment building here, and she befriends the local next door stripper here. But there's a lot of like the tenant in here too, with all the like we talked about with her not really understanding the culture shock of it all and everything there. Which I think I've said before, I don't really like the tenant. So the fact that this takes the best parts of the tenant
is interesting, right? Both of us are kind of like not so hot on that movie.
Yeah. But I think this takes like
I get
the
it.
Parts. I don't.
Like, what was the point of that
honestly,
movie?
Yeah,
I don't know. Because I love Repulsion, I love Rosemary's Baby, but the tenant, I'm like, eh. Like, there's moments where I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, when he finds the tooth, I'm like, oh, that's weird. And
right.
There's good performances, but I'm just like, eh.
There's like, I mean, it kind of plays on the culture shock aspect that this one does, where like he's from a different country and he's like moved into this apartment building, and Sometimes isn't really sure if it's just like the fact that he's from a different country and he doesn't know if he's interpreting these things. But yeah, he goes to some really strange places and
very odd.
It's just, I don't know, it's kind of a dull movie and I don't really like his acting that much in it either. I mean, whatever.
Well, he just kind of has one thing to do. He's just like constantly frazzled. He's just like,
why cast your? He's not really that great of an actor either. Like, why cast yourself in whatever? You know, we're not talking about that.
Maybe he just was like, I'll cut myself a deal. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Maybe someone was cast and they dropped out, and he was like, we shoot tomorrow. I'll do it. You know,
right? Exactly. Could be.
I've been there before. I'm like, I don't want to play this fucking part, but this person just dropped out.
Yeah,
damn it to hell. So, you know, it happens, but yeah, it's I mean, I can see elements of all of them, really, and of course, the sort of the, I guess you could say he's sort of gaslighty in some ways, this Francis husband character. Like, he's not the most gaslighty of all
he's
the
not,
thriller husbands out there.
No. The Rosemary's Baby, the husband there is way worse, obviously.
I mean,
he's like
he's totally the worst.
Everything. Yeah, I mean, he's, yeah.
Yeah.
This guy's just kind of more invested in his career and trying to get that up and going, that he doesn't really pay that much attention to his wife. And then when he does, he's like, man, I think you're going crazy. Like, none of this adds up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame. He's just, you know, he's off in his own little world trying to head up that corporate ladder. But when you do that and you neglect the ones you love, crazy shit happens. I mean, decapitated heads end up in shopping bags, and nobody wants that. It's not good for it's not a good look for the public transit.
It's not good for the economy. Yeah,
anything. Yeah, what I was struck by this time was how clean their subways look.
Yeah,
I'm like, these look lovely. These look very like, it looks like a doctor's office. I'm like, how nice and sterile.
That is interesting because they walk by some of these buildings and they look like totally run down.
Yeah,
the subway is just like,
the subway's lovely,
beautiful. Yeah,
if I lived there, I would just live on the subway. It looks quite cozy. It's nice.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Good film. It's our last entry in our Women's History Month film series here.
Yes. And, yes, it is.
One of the more recent movies that we've covered ever.
I think it is. Yeah. Yeah. This was 2022.
So within the past couple years. I don't know. Let's see. Where did we jump in? Well, you saw some stuff recently.
Yeah.
Or a movie.
I've seen some stuff. I did. Yeah. I saw a single film.
Yeah.
I saw Immaculate. That's one people are talking about. I thought it was fun. It's not gonna, you know, rewrite the wheel or re-engineer the wheel. What's that phrase? I don't know. Something about the wheel.
Rewrite the wheel's fine, you know.
Rebuild the wheel. I don't know.
Yeah.
Make the wheel great again. It doesn't do that.
Reinvent. That's what it is.
Reinvent the wheel. It's Sunday morning, you guys. Like, I don't know what words are. But it's you know, it's a fun little movie about nuns being pregnant and the church being terrible. So if you like those things, hey, check it out. It's good fun for the whole family.
Okay. On Easter weekend coming up here, so sounds like
a great time to release it.
Good choice. Yeah.
There's lots of sort of casual I don't know, stuff that maybe some people will, certain very devout people will probably find issue with, as we've seen on Twitter and Instagram. The company releasing this, Neon, brilliantly has found quotes from crazy people on Twitter just denouncing the film because it's, you know, feminist and pro-choice and hates Christians and hates babies. Like, and so they're putting these quotes on their ad materials, which is really smart, I think. And it just, if I hadn't seen the movie, I'd want to see it more, because it's just like, oh wow, this is like very like William Castle kind of, you know, gimmicks. I think John Waters used to use bad reviews on his posters too back in the day. It's just great way to get people in.
Yeah, I saw the one you posted, and I didn't know if you made that or if
no, that was
made. Okay,
I think Neon did. I think they put two out that have quotes from people that were very upset at the film on Twitter / X, it just made me laugh really hard, because I love when people go insane over movies, you know, and just are like, this is gonna bring the downfall of society. It's like, calm down. Okay, it's a nunsploitation film the likes of which we have not had in quite a long time.
Yeah,
just enjoy the ride. It has very European horror vibes and feels like a like, not like a Argento film, but like a film he might have produced like in the 80s, you know. It's like, okay, just like a very, it almost feels like a, like, remember when they made Demons 1 and 2, and then all of a sudden someone, I guess the distributor, was like, we need to keep the franchise going, so they just called a bunch of random movies sequels to Demons 1 and 2, so you've got like Demons 3 through like, I don't know, 15. It's it feels like one of those movies where they would just sort of slap the name on there.
Like the Witchcraft series that we're going to binge.
Yes. Yes, exactly. It's like that, or like those, what was that Film Mirage company that would always put out like Ghost House and Witchery. Yeah. It kind of feels like one of those movies.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, in the with the highest degree of respect.
Right, right.
It feels like that, and so I like that aspect.
Nice.
And it's just really fun. It's surprising to see someone like Sydney Sweeney just committing really hard to this ridiculous, trashy script.
Well, you know, they
it's great.
I saw that, you know, the poster, and they were talking about how, like, something about the right had made her like their poster child or something, but
which I don't remember that.
I don't remember that, because she's in Euphoria, which is like not a you know, conservative show, but
absolutely
whatever.
Not. Yeah, I don't know when that happened exactly, but
that Twitter user is just extra delusional. I mean, we already know they're delusional, but
oh man, yeah. I mean, I think at this point X is just like the world's biggest mental hospital, basically, and people are just losing their minds and sanity.
It's terrible. I get on there, it's, and really I'm like, bad. Oh my god, like, like, I remember it used to just be people yelling at each other, but now it's just like, just terrible. I mean, even worse. And
it's worse than it was. Yeah,
like I can it's handle. Really bad. I can handle Facebook because I can kind of control who I see for the most part. And then Instagram is fine because it's usually just people posting about things they like. Sometimes it's controversy, but for the most part, it's not too bad. But fucking, X/Twitter, it's too much.
Yeah, like Instagram seems to have found kind of the right balance. Every now and then you'll see some weird random comment.
Yeah.
Like, there's one, I've never talked about this, but it made me laugh so hard. That this was like maybe 4 years ago, I think. And Sharon Stone had posted something about, I don't know, like she was at some fashion show, or she was like selling a handbag or something. I don't know. And it was like this very sort of frivolous, superficial post.
Yeah.
And this person commented down below. They said, "Sharon, why don't you stop war?" Like, what? How is Sharon fucking Stone gonna stop a war? Is she gonna spread her legs like she did in Basic Instinct to just distract everybody? I don't know. What is she supposed to do? She can't even get Ryan Murphy to write her a decent fucking part on Ratchet. What is she gonna do?
Ugh.
Like, what is... It's like, and then comments like that make me laugh every time. I'm like, what is she going
to
do?
And then the actresses that try to be like activists, like Jane Fonda, will get shit on like all the fucking time. And it's just like, what do you want from these people?
You can't win. You just can't win. It's ridiculous. There's always going to be someone that's like, you should have used your platform to talk about this instead of what you just talked about. Like, I'm so glad that you're finally shedding light on the atrocities of, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you should really be talking about this library that burnt down in, you know, Cincinnati. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, can people just post what they want to post? Like, it's about what stirs something in them. They right. saw something, they felt compelled to share it, you know, and there's just some stuff. Like, we cannot, not everybody can watch the news 24/7 and be educated on every single problem. I mean, some of us do like to have some mental stability left in our lives. If we did that, we would all be crazy. There's just too much horrible shit going on. Yeah, I mean, we're all crazy. Yeah. We're all mad here. I mean, I think that ship sailed a long time ago. We're all insane. If you're listening, you're insane. Okay, you're, we've been doing this a long time.
You've thought about it. Still you've, here. Had, you've had tendencies.
All a bit crazy on the Haunted Hill. But yeah, it just makes me laugh. So, all of you, why don't you stop war? Why don't you stop it?
Why don't you stop enjoying everything that you like in life and just stop war, you know?
Just stop war. I think I still have the screenshot that I took because it made me laugh so hard. Because it's just a picture of her with like these... She's in the middle... of these two guys on both sides of her, and she's just smiling with this handbag, and there's just this little cock comment. Sharon, why don't you stop war? As if she could.
No.
But maybe she could. I don't know. Sharon Stone might have it in her. I mean, we've seen Catwoman.
I've seen Catwoman.
Yeah.
Well, I watched, like I posted about that Madam Web movie that everybody's all up in a fury about. And, you know, it was whatever. Like, it's just it's another superhero movie. I don't know what people are so, like, fucking throwing a fit about. But one of the many problems with these movies is that, like, the villains are just fucking terrible. They're always just these really hollow, like, single goal-oriented, like, characters that just, they just have no development at all. But, if they would have thrown Sharon Stone in there, would have been great. You know, even if the script was shitty, I would have been on board with it. You know,
honestly, everything's more fun with a little dash of Sharon Stone.
Come on. She makes everything. Like,
that's what we're missing, I think. Like, she was so big in the 90s and then not so much later on. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, they took her away and they took away our fun.
It's true.
Where are Sharon Stones?
Yeah, where are they in the world? I did find it funny in this movie. Like, toward the end of it, the main character, played by Dakota Johnson, she decides she's going to run off to Peru for, like, literally 5 minutes and goes on this, like, whole spirit quest thing and comes right back. And it's just like, girl, why did you... What? Like, it comes literally out of nowhere. And by most of the movie, she's, like, babysitting these three other actors, one of which is Sydney Sweeney. But yeah, she just decides she's going to run off to fucking Peru for like all 5 minutes and come right back. And I was like, what, why? And then she's like,
strange arc.
And then the weird thing is that this character doesn't really have any like physical superpowers. She can only like sort of see the future and like telekinetic type shit. So she's trying to fight this dude at the end. And, she just keeps grabbing vehicles and like ramming into him. Like that's literally she commandeers like an ambulance at one point and just like rams into him, it like through a fucking building into him. And this happens like 3 times in the movie. Just like, what is happening?
Kevin, you gotta stop selling me on this movie. And then I'm sure because it's Dakota Johnson, I love the way she speaks. It's like this very, she's just sort of over everything. She's like, oh my God, like, it's, I guess I've got to.
That's the character in this.
I've got to use my powers. I'm going to go to Peru. I'm just going to go to Peru. That sounds fun. Cool.
It's kind of, the only way I know to describe this movie is like Adventures in Babysitting with like her as the lead, but like she doesn't give a shit.
Wait, Kevin, I'm telling you, stop selling me. This is great. I'm fucking sold. What is this? This is great.
But yeah, she's like the babysitter, but she's like bored the whole fucking time. And she's uninterested in these superpowers that she has.
This sounds wonderful. A bored Adventures in Babysitting? Like, wait, this is terrific.
With lots of blunt trauma, like I said. But
even better. My God.
I don't delightful. Want to oversell this movie here, folks.
This is great. Wow. Sounds like a winner. Not even in like an ironic way. Like, holy shit, sign me up. Sounds great.
Oh, babysitter. It's a movie. Okay. I don't want to oversell this too much. I don't think it's as terrible as people are. Or maybe it is. That's why I liked it, but whatever. I didn't like it. I don't want to like get too intense with this. I didn't hate it.
Actually, Kevin, that's a lie.
Thank you,
Dakota. That is a lie.
You know what I did like, though? That stop-motion one that I talked about.
Oh, it's you're so lucky. I want to see that. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, you can rent it, or you can wait like a month and it'll be on Shudder, I think, pretty soon here.
Like everything, yeah.
Yeah, like everything. But it's pretty solid. Like I said, it's got a lot of May vibes, which
I saw you posted that. I got so excited. I was like, May? My darling May?
Yeah. Oh. I wish it had maybe a little more dark humor like that movie, but it's still pretty damn solid. It's for people who don't know, it's about this stop motion animator. She lives with her mom in the beginning. You know, you got to have an overbearing mother. Always a good start here. And her mom is a director of these stop motion films. And the main character, Ella, I think is her name, helps her. Sounds like Cinderella. But then her mom falls into a coma or something. She gets really ill. She goes to the hospital. So Ella decides she's going to take up the mantle and start making these movies herself. But she kind of realizes that, like, oh shit, I've been doing everything my mom has wanted me to do this whole time. I don't even know how to like make my own movies. And this little girl starts showing up in their apartment building, and we don't know who the fuck this girl is, but she starts giving Ella ideas about, you know, what to do with this stop motion movie. And it just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. And she becomes so obsessed with this thing and starts ignoring like her boyfriend and friends and everything. And it just becomes this really strange obsession thriller. And it's got all these stop motion sequences that are really cool. Like the animation is really interesting. I don't want to give too much else away, but definitely worth checking out once it's out there more. Like I said, you can rent it now. It's like $5 or something, but it is going to be on Shudder in like May, I think they said. So keep an eye out for that.
That's not, folks. It's not too long. I mean, with the way time works these days, that's like tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You're going to blink and it's going to be out.
Yeah. So. It'll be out for like 5 months and I'll be like, oh, I guess I should watch this now.
I mean, it should have had a wide theatrical release. I heard it opened like a few cities anyway, but I don't know why it didn't, because it's pretty solid. I liked it quite a bit, so.
Yeah, it didn't play here. I'm surprised. I'm surprised that Love Lies Bleeding and Late Night with the Devil are playing here, and I want to see those before they're off, which will probably be like in 2 days.
Yeah, and that's not Late Night with the Devil is another one that's coming in Shudder in April, I think. So
that's
like
true. Yeah,
I don't know why they bother announcing that, because then it makes people not rush out to go see. You know, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's like I get really depressed, like. When we went to see Immaculate, there were a few people there, which was nice. But the last movie we went to see, the entire theater was dead. Now, granted, it was like a Thursday night, but it was really eerie and uncomfortable. And I was like, oh my God, are theaters genuinely dying? Like for real?
There was, I went to Saltburn with my boyfriend. And there was nobody there. Like it was completely empty. So yeah.
It's so sad. And this wasn't just like in our auditorium. It was like the parking lot was dead. Mm-hmm. Like nobody was at the concession stand. Like there were two other people before us. I was like, this is really, I mean, I know it's a Thursday, but it just made me sad. It's like, please don't leave theaters. Don't leave us.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with movie
theaters
these days.
I love the theatrical experience.
I mean, in some ways, even though it sucks that everything is shot digitally these days and looks not as good, it does make it cheaper for them to play in movie theaters. Like, I think if everything was shot on film these days, like, we would hardly see hardly anything in theaters. But it is what it is.
I do miss film. Film was so pretty. But every now and then, like, something comes out and they're like, yeah, we shot this on 70 millimeter. And you're like, really? How?
Right. Yeah.
I didn't think...
With what technology?
I didn't think film even existed anymore. Exactly. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah, unless you're like fucking Christopher Nolan or something. How do you get access to this kind of shit, you know?
Yeah, it's probably like half his budget on that movie was just because it was on film.
Right.
That's how expensive it is now. There's like one lab somewhere, I think, that can develop film. It's crazy.
Right, right. And, okay, can I be a little bitchy for a second? So he's out
of course.
There, yeah. As I am apt to do on every single episode. But, you know, he's out there, of course, talking about how, you know, well, I made this great movie, and of course it won all these Oscars and blah, 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 and it was so fucking popular, and it's going to save cinema. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure Barbie saved cinema. Like, I'm pretty sure that movie just glommed onto Barbie, and, you know, people went and saw both, you know, but whatever.
God, that was a weird summer.
It was.
Like, those two movies have literally nothing in common. And they're like, double feature.
Right.
Like, why?
Right.
Just because they came out on the same day? What is this?
Yeah. It's such a... Like, I sat through Oppenheimer, I think I've said on this podcast, and it was I just thought it was so bland. I thought it was just... It's just really wooden performances. The script is nothing special. Am I surprised that it won Best Picture? No, because... It's the type of movie that wins Best Picture, unfortunately.
Yeah, of course.
But, I just don't see these like 3-hour wooden, boring movies saving movies like in the long run, you know?
Oh, fuck. I completely forgot. Last week, speaking of dull Oscar bait, I finally watched The Fabelmans.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ, Kevin. I wanted to kill myself at least 12 times during the course of the movie.
I did not hate
that
movie.
What is this?
It was okay. I mean,
as a filmmaker, were there some parts that resonated? Sure.
Yeah.
But I just was like, what are the stakes?
It's too long. There's no stakes.
It was
it's
so
very
long.
Masturbatory. And yeah, it's yeah.
And I like Spielberg. I do. I think he's one of our greats. He truly is. But this was a little bit like, can you speak to a therapist instead? I don't know. Like, why is this supposed to be interesting to us? You know, well, everybody thinks like, oh, I've got this idea for a story that took place in my own life. And it's like, but hold on to that. Don't put it on screen because we're not going to care. Because it's just, we always seem to think there are things in our own lives that are more interesting than they actually are. And it just, that's what it felt like, was sort of this little slice of life that was probably very interesting and traumatic for him. But for the rest of us was like, I don't get it.
That's another one that I think, like, had it been like 90 minutes, would have been like, oh, okay, that was whatever. But you know, everything has to be like fucking close to 3 hours or like, you know, at least like 2.5 these days. And very few films need to be that long, you know?
It was a fucking miniseries. I was like, why is this movie so long?
There wasn't
enough drama.
And our like attention spans have gotten so short as people in general that I don't understand why movies have gotten so long. You know, I don't. It's so fucking weird, but I don't know. I think
there are some that are that long that I have no trouble following and staying with. But then there are some where I'm like, there's not enough drama here to sustain a 2.5-3 hour long movie. No. It's just not. Like, why? No. I don't get it.
Exactly. Yeah. Even with the movie we're talking about today, I think had they chosen to make this like 2 hours long, you would have felt the pacing issues a lot. But because
it would
they
have been
keep
a snooze.
It like, no, but they keep it like 90 minutes, which is like pretty reasonable for like the material we're dealing with here. So
absolutely.
Good choice on their part because it just seems like a lot of filmmakers these days are like, well, we got to make it like 2 hours because everything else is like 2 hours. And I'm like, do you have a script that is worthy of being 2 hours?
You know, I wonder if it's something like, okay, if we're trying to bring people back to the theater, they're going to spend this much to buy a ticket. They're going to spend this much to get the concessions. If they have kids, they're going to have to get a babysitter. And they're going to spend something on that. So we owe them a 3-hour long epic experience for their money. I wonder if it's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of explains why some of the smaller films that are like, you know, 90 minutes don't seem to be as successful as like the 3-hour long Marvel epics. Because they're just, they're like, oh, we can watch that at home. It's not that special. You know, when we leave the house, we want like a huge, you know, spectacular experience or something.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what it is.
I think that is, yeah, that's
probably a lot of stuff.
It's yeah. Stuff. Yeah. That's
a big old mix.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I again, who knows what happens with movies? On the one hand, I want to see more genres back in theaters, et cetera, yeah, et cetera, and be really successful. On the other hand, like if we are going to get to a point where most genres end up on streamers, it would be great if the movies were better. Like, I hate to say but it's like, I've seen so many mediocre streaming movies lately that it's like, okay, I don't mind these movies just popping up on a streamer, but like, they need to be better. Like, there needs to be really great movies. And like, every once in a while, something, you know, really good will pop up. But for the most part, it's just like content. You know, it's filling these
streaming
platforms with
content.
Yeah, crap.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's I think it's much more about quantity over quality these days. Yeah. It's about, you know, if we have this many movies streaming at a certain time, I still don't really know how streaming, like, I don't know how Netflix,
how do they make money.
Yeah,
I don't
like
either.
I guess Netflix buys the rights for like a certain amount of months or something, and
they must,
that's how
because,
they make the money. Because
like Amazon, like, you know how they make money, because they have the whole fucking company behind them, or even Apple, they sell all these other products. But yeah, Netflix, I don't understand how that company is going to survive this decade versus these other big corporations. But
yeah,
I just
don't understand the whole concept of like, how do you make money? Like back in the day, you know,
back in my time,
there, you know, if your movie was coming out on video, you know, Blockbuster or whatever would buy so many copies, and that's how they made their money. Mm-hmm. Like, because copies cost like, you know, somewhere between 50 to $100 a pop. And so they basically made their money before they would even rent these things out. And these days it's like, how like with Tubi, I get it. Cause I've got some of my films on there, and that is very much like they pay you because of the ads.
Right.
So that I understand, but like Netflix, I don't really get it. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Very, very weird times. Yeah, it definitely feels like we're in a transition period into something. I just don't know what that something looks like here.
Yeah.
I wonder what it'll be. I don't know if movies will eventually go the way of music, which music these days is just, everything's basically free. I mean, literally, you can do it, and I don't know how anyone makes any money on anything, but who knows?
I have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, there's, like, on YouTube, you know, like, they basically post everything on there. You can find pretty much any song on there, but there will be ads. So I'm like, okay, the ads, I guess, if enough people watch it, I guess that makes sense. But still, it's just, it's all so confusing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The economics are so fucking weird and everything. And people still talk about, again, a movie's success based on like how it does at the movie theater, even if it, like, we've talked about, like, with Saltburn, which was like this huge hit afterwards, and it's just like, but we don't know how much money it gets in streaming or anything. Like, the one we're talking about today was not, I mean, you saw it in theaters, but it was not a box office success here, but I think it did better on streaming. I've heard a lot of people watch it and said they
probably
liked it, so, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think we have such a limited view of what a success is, you know, because, like, for me, I think a success is, it's something that you can't see right away. It's not a box office number or how it did with the critics. It's usually like, how is it being received 10, 15, 20 years down the road? To me, if people are still talking about the film, that's a success.
Yeah. Right. Like fucking Showgirls, you know, like that
right.
just had, was just shown at the fucking Oscars.
The fucking
Museum
Academy.
Or whatever.
What
Academy
is this?
Museum. Like they completely trashed this movie like 30
Talk
years ago,
about
or whatever.
Full circle.
Yeah.
It's really interesting how time can change the perception of certain movies. I think it's really cool. So you don't really know until maybe a few decades after the fact. You know, there's all these movies coming out all the time on Blu-ray and 4K that were just pissed on when they first came out. And when they're announced, everyone's like, oh, thank God, this classic's being released. And you're like, a classic, huh? Really? Right. Okay. Who knew at the time?
Who knew?
It's so interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's really like true success, is to make a film that people are still talking about years from now. I think that's the coolest thing, because that means there's got to be something within the film that resonates with a lot of people. There's something there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it takes time.
Yes.
We'll see.
I think this film will be a classic in the years to come. I hope.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it draws from a lot from the past, and while still feeling fresh. And it's solid here. So let's get into it here. Like we said, this is Watcher, not to be confused with the Netflix series The Watcher, which came out the same year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
I don't recommend that series, but we're not going to talk about that right now. This is directed by Chloe Okuno, who also directed the storm drain sequence from VHS 94, which I have not seen. I think I watched the first VHS movie.
I have not seen a single one of those. Are they worth checking out?
It was really low budget in the first one. I don't know if it like got... I don't want to say better, but like, didn't look as like home movie as it went, but I don't know.
Right.
At some point I'll try to bend them and get a sense of that.
I think some people like that. They like that aesthetic or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just not like a big found footage dude, but
yeah.
I mean, some of them are okay, but I don't know. Right.
Even this late night with the devil one, it's found footage, I think. So I don't know. But it seems to be getting good reviews, but except for the AI stuff, which
AI, people are all up in arms about like a little image in there or something. Yeah. I don't know.
And like, I get it. It's like it's if it gets worse, then you know, it's like it starts with small things now, and then you know, people start doing more build. And more of it. So I get it, but I don't know. Anyway, that's not the topic today. We'll have more to say on that.
It's not? Damn it. That's all I prepared for. I didn't even watch the movie. I
just thought we were going to
talk about the three images in Late Night at the Devil. That's all I have in my notes.
Ah, damn. Well, buckle up, Buttercup, because we're talking about Watcher.
No!
I know. So, directed by Chloe Okuno, like I said, written by Okuno, based on a original script by Zach Ford, who wrote Girls' Night Out from 2009.
Not the Hal Holbrook bear mascot with the razors in its hand.
Yes, exactly. Not that one. Unless it's a shame, because
that's a crazy fucking movie. He just like calls everybody a whore. He's like, you whore. It's like, calm down, sir. Good Lord.
Like Freddy calling everybody a bitch.
And he's got the little claw hands too, and this was before that. So I'm thinking maybe Robert Englund got some inspiration there.
Bitch.
Probably not, but maybe.
Nah, but who knows? So, in March 2021, it was announced that Micah Monroe, Carl Glusman, and Bern Gorman, what a name, Bern Gorman, would star in this film titled Watcher. From Image Nation and Spooky Pictures. So principal photography began very soon after that, March 8th, 2021, concluded on April 16th, so about 6 weeks to make in Bucharest, Romania here, which Seed of Chucky was also shot in Romania, as we said, which is interesting because it's a very different movie.
All the best films.
Yes, all the best movies are shot in Romania, really. I mean, are we going to get a crossover someday between Watcher and Seed of Chucky?
Oh, can you imagine? Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be glorious. Like, there, maybe her next door neighbor could have been Jennifer Tilly, who's being set up there for a film shoot. But is it really Jennifer Tilly or is it Tiffany? Who can tell?
These days, who knows?
Okay, Chucky season 4. We got ideas for you.
Micah Monroe, just great. She's always willing to do whatever, you know? She's like, I'll do the serious part. I'll do the goofy part. I'll do, you know, whatever the fuck you want me to do.
I really like her a lot.
I do too.
Everything I've seen her in, I've been like, I like watching you.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing.
You go, girl.
Yeah, you go, Micah Coco.
Okay. And what else about this? What is best? So Chloe Okuno said in an interview at one point that she was partly inspired by Polanski's Apartment Trilogy. No surprise there, as we've said. Also, Perfect Blue, that animated fucked up movie from the 90s.
Also inspired Black Swan, right?
Yes, I believe so. Lost in Translation, which I see with a lot of the city shots and everything, the close-ups and everything, I've heard just kind of being lost in the city. Seven, I can see that to some degree with the killer and everything. And the head.
There's a head in the bag.
Yeah, the head in the bag. Mm-hmm, yeah. She says, for the most part, these are movies that really take their time. She says, I can really appreciate something where it is in a little bit more of a classic style, and it's a slow burn, and it's about building a visual language and pacing in a way that's tied to the character. It is a little bit slower and more deliberate, but there are two obviously extreme different modes of horror, but I really loved working in both of them. Okay.
Do love a slow burn.
Do love a slow burn. Yeah, good stuff. Premiered at Sundance in January of 2022. Was nominated for the Grand Jury Prize. Then came out in the United States on June 3rd, 2022. And then hit streaming pretty soon after. It was a couple weeks after that. And like I said, it didn't do very well at the box office here. Grossed about $3 million. But it only cost like $5 million to make, so it wasn't some like huge loss, probably. Critics, good stuff here for the most part. 88%. Yeah, it's a classy film we're talking about here.
It's classy. I even put on my pearls for the occasion.
Well, good for you. Good for you. My cufflinks were in the dryer, but I'll see. Yeah. Do you put cufflinks in the dryer? I don't think you put cufflinks in the dryer.
I don't think you do. You can if you're like Roseanne and she deviling her trying to make your house explode, maybe, but possibly.
Oh, that movie.
It's so good.
The New York Times called this movie one of the century's most arresting tales of female anxiety.
Mm.
Entertainment Weekly says, a gorgeously shot, often glacial thriller, steeped in heavy-lidded style and atmosphere. Los Angeles Times says, a beautifully crafted jewel of a throwback thriller, signifies Okuno as a talent to watch. But furthermore, it pushes the viewer to question what and who we choose to believe and why.
I hate that they have to call this a throwback. Like, this shouldn't be a throwback. This should just be the way it's done.
Yeah.
Forever.
I mean, it should be.
This just works. This entire film works.
What do I say here? Where was I going with this?
What do
who
you
am I?
Say?
Who am I? Who am I?
Jerry Blake.
I guess I was going to say, it feels, even though it is slow burn, it feels distinct from like the A24 brand of slow burn,
yes.
Where everything
yes,
is just
absolutely.
So fucking weird for like an hour and a half, but very slow.
Yeah.
And then just gets even fucking weirder in the last act. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
There's something very straightforward about this movie, but it's still very tense and feels pretty grounded in reality while also feeling a little surreal at times. It's a really interesting balance with that. But
this is definitely because I feel like a lot of the A24 stuff, it's just like really slow zooms in on people's faces as they look kind of anxious. Yeah. And there's weird, like, not even music behind them. It's like ambient.
Yeah.
Like,
the score.
And you're like, am
good.
I supposed to feel uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, like this has a little more of an actual score.
Yeah.
You know, it's more, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's, I just like it.
Yeah. There's a,
it
there's
works
a,
for me.
There's a couple themes there at times. The music themes and stuff, and it's nice. It works pretty well here. That's most of the background stuff. There's not a lot of production history on this one. So what's going on? Like I said, there's not a lot of story
there's
in this.
Not
so
a lot,
just
really,
it, folks. You gotta sit down and watch it.
Yeah, it's so much of why this film works is the mood and the atmosphere and the acting and the sound design and the music. It's just beautifully put together. But there is a couple, Julia and Francis, and they have moved to Romania because he got this job promotion thing. She used to be an actress, but she kind of, it's implied she quit just to kind of be with him.
Yeah, which is, again, kind of flipping the Rosemary's Baby, where, like, the husband was the actor, but now she's the actress in this, but
And so she's, like, he was apparently... Like, his family is from there, so he kind of knows the language. She does not. She's trying. She's trying with her little, her tapes to try to learn. And so she's constantly just feeling very left out. Right from the beginning, they're in this cab, and she's just looking around as they're driving to their new apartment. And her husband is talking to the cab driver and they're speaking Romanian and she's just like, I don't what did he say? I don't know. And that is basically her for the rest of the movie. It's like they get to the apartment, the landlady lets them in and she's talking in Romanian and she's like, what is she saying? And her husband's like, oh, he's saying this and that. Then at some point his co-worker comes over with his wife and they're having a conversation and she's very lost once again, and so she's constantly trying to have people translate for her, so she's already immediately in this sort of outsider orphan kind of existence where she feels very alone and very isolated. And like we said, because they don't put subtitles when they're speaking Romanian, it puts us in her shoes, so we're just as confused.
It's disorienting and
very much
we're trying to piece things together just like she is, kind of like we talked about last week with The Invitation, where like we don't know what's going on and we're on this person's side right from the beginning, but we're also like, is this person going crazy or is this actually
okay?
Yeah.
It's a very strange situation because one night when they're walking back home, they see this ambulance and they see this big crowd and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And it turns out that this woman was killed and this guy found her and he's looks very traumatized. And so then she starts to watch the news to try to figure out if she can learn more about this case. And then they're talking about it at their apartment when Francis has invited some of his work friends. And they mentioned that she was decapitated and all this horrible stuff. And then one night it's raining and she wakes up in the middle of the night and looks out the window and she sees this guy across the way in another apartment complex just staring at her. And she's like, it's creepy. And then it keeps happening. And then at some point, like, she's like, no. This can't be right. Like, this is, I mean, he's not staring at me. Like, why would he be staring at me? But then she raises her hand and waves. And then all of a sudden he fucking waves back. And she's like, shit. Oh, this is bad. This is scary. And then, like, she's still trying to sort of acclimate to everything and find her way around town and learn a few new Romanian words and stuff. And she decides to go to the movies. And they're playing Charade. And so she sits down, and there's no one behind her. It's a very sparsely attended screening. But then this guy walks in and sits right behind her. And she's like, it's weird. And she looks down, and she sees his shoes. And he starts moving closer to her. Like, it looks like he's trying to, like, sniff her or some shit. And she's like, I'm out. And she rushes out. And she goes to a grocery store. And the guy follows her there.
Yeah.
And they're playing, like, peekaboo around the aisles. And it's really fucking scary. And we never get a good look at him. He's always kind of blurry and out of focus. And if you do see his face, it's for a quick little split second. And she gets so scared that she knocks over, like, a big jar of pickles and, like, runs into the stock room and is trying to hide, and he sees her and she's like, oh my god. And then there's this guy that works there, and he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, is there a back way out? He's like, yeah, it's right there. So she gets out and escapes, and she goes home and she tells Francis, like, yeah, there's this guy, and he was, like, following me. He's been staring at me across the way. I'm pretty sure this is the same guy. And he's like, okay, well, why don't we go back to the grocery store and see if they have the tapes? And she's like, okay, cool. So they go, and the people that work there are like, yeah, we just thought you were trying to steal shit. We just thought you were, like, kind of a, you know, a little bandit. And they play the tapes back, and they see the guy. And she's all like, right there. See, he's staring right at me. And Francis is like, well, maybe he's staring because you were staring. And she's like, okay, rude. Like, no, like, he has been stalking me.
Yeah.
and then she meets this girl who lives next door, who's always a little bit noisy.
Who is, and her name is Irina.
She's a stripper,
yeah,
who might be entertaining some gentleman callers occasionally, because yeah. She's like, did you hear me in there? I'm so sorry you heard me. And yeah, there's, like, this other lady that lives around there who's trying to find her cat named Elvis.
Yes.
So they kind of have, like, a little discussion and stuff. And then as they're talking in Irina's apartment, there's this loud knock on the door, and it turns out it's, like, her ex, and they're not on good terms. And she's like, yeah, I keep a gun in my coffee table right here, because if he comes in, like, I'm going to shoot him or something. Like,
yeah.
She's a gal who comes prepared, you know.
It's the Chekhov's gun. You know, it's getting
absolutely, like, you know, it's going to come into play at some point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so then one day Julia's just out and about, and she sees this guy from across the way, and he's just, like, walking around. And wait, I'm trying to think if this comes before or after. I can't remember, because at some point, like, she meets, wait, is this before where she follows him and discovers that he works where Irina works?
I can't remember the sequence of events.
Or do they bring the cops in first? I can't remember. There was, like, a whole thing where...
I think they bring the cops in first.
Okay, so one day Julia hears some knocking over at Irina's, and it turns out it's her ex trying to find her. No. That's later. Never mind. Okay.
Blah,
scratch it. Blah. No. I think she does follow the watcher dude and sees that he works as a janitor in this club, this sort of strip club, where this, like, subterranean, like, underground creepy strip club. It's, like, in, like, a, looks like a catacomb or some shit. And she discovers that he works there, and Irina sees her, and she's like, what are you doing here? And she's like, there's this guy across the way, and he's following me, and, you know, it's just, it's really weird and stuff.
We talked about the movie theater sequence, right? That was before the grocery store.
Yeah.
Okay. Just zoned out for a minute.
Movie theater and then grocery store.
Right. Okay.
And so then all of a sudden Irina just disappears, and Julia hears a noise, and she gets really concerned. Like, she hears this screaming coming from next door. Mm-hmm. And so she gets the landlady, and, like, the whole fucking apartment is like the whole apartment complex is, like, right there, like, trying to see what the noise is. And they unlock her door, and they see, oh, it was just a lamp, and it was knocked over by Elvis the cat. And the old lady's like, oh, Elvis, there you are. And so they're like, that was the problem, just knocked over a lamp, everything's fine, nobody cares. And she's like, but I heard a scream. Like, this is weird, you know. And now Frances is starting to get kind of pissed because the landlady's like, we want tenants who are not going to cause any drama. And she is causing drama. This is not good. And so Frances is like, you need to stop this. Like, this is getting ridiculous. And then pretty soon after that, Irina's ex shows up and they meet. And he's all like, yeah, I've been trying to get into contact with her. I've tried to call, but she's not answering. And so then Julia's like, well, why don't you let me try? So she gets her number and she calls. And all of a sudden they hear her cell phone ringing inside of her apartment. And they're like, what the hell? That's crazy. And then she convinces him to go across the street and knock on the door of the watcher's house because she's sure that like he's got to be in on this. Mm-hmm. And he goes for it and he tries to knock like twice and nothing happens. Nobody comes to the door and he leaves. He's like, I'm sorry. I've got this call. I've got to go. But she's like, I'm not satisfied yet. So she goes to the door and she knocks. And then this little old dude opens the door and he's like, what do you want? And she's like, oh, I guess I got the wrong apartment. And as she's leaving and going into the elevator, she sees the watcher and he's coming back with groceries and shit. And he's, you know, doing what he does best, watching her. And so she goes down the elevator and she's like, oh, shit, that's really scary. And then that night there's a knock on their apartment and it's the police. And they're there with, guess who? The Watcher. And he's looking all mild and meek and like staring at the ground like he's so sad.
Yeah.
And the police are like, can you stop harassing this man? Okay, he lives with his little old father. He takes care of him. And he is very uncomfortable that you keep harassing him. Mm-hmm. And so like they have this little handshake where they're going to like pretend like everything's going to be fine. And so now at this point, Frances is just like, are you crazy? Are you like losing your mind? And she's like, maybe. Yeah, probably. I guess I'm just absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And
there's also been an, or is this coming up, where there's been a news broadcast that has established that this killer has been caught.
Right. You know. Then all of a sudden it comes out that the spider, as they call him, has been captured. And in fact, it was the man they saw at the ambulance who discovered the woman's body. And so now everyone's like, it's been solved. Who cares? Let this go. And so Julia's trying to, you know, be a little more lighthearted. Like she's starting to joke a bit more and stuff like that.
They go to parties
and
she tries to make
things
small talk
to be okay.
And she's been learning Romanian at this point, so she can kind of
pick up
like when they're sort of making fun of her a little bit, and
she's
not having that, or at least that's how she interprets what they're saying.
Right. Because at some point she's at a party and she's had a little bit of champagne, a little bit, and she sort of lets it out that she's not so thrilled that Frances has said something about how like the spider has kept her occupied and like all this stuff. And she's like, ah, screw you. So she leaves and she goes on the subway to get back home. And who does she run into on the train but the Watcher? And he's like, you know, he's still creepy. He's got his little shopping bag, plastic shopping bag. And like the train stops randomly and he's like, it was probably a dog, you know, sometimes they have to stop and break to get animals off the tracks and stuff. And so there's a little break there and they start talking and he tries to explain himself like, I'm very lonely because I live with my dad and I saw this beautiful woman across the way staring at me. And I thought, oh, she can't possibly be staring at me because why would she? But then you waved and I was like, oh, I guess that means she's into me too and all this stuff. And then Julia's staring at his shopping bag and it looks like there might be like a decapitated head inside. And she's like, I hope this train starts again soon. And it's really uncomfortable and he's being a creeper again. And she's just like, I gotta get out of here. So she gets out at the next stop and goes back home and she's like, I'm gonna start packing. I'm getting out of here. And unfortunately, the Watcher has planned ahead. and he still has the key to Irina's apartment. So he starts playing some music in there, which brings her in. And she's like, Irina, where are you? Irina's there. She doesn't have a head anymore. She's looked better. She has looked
she looks
much
terrible.
Better. She looks terrible. And the watcher has a plastic bag, and he pulls a black Christmas and sticks it over her head and knocks her out. And she comes to.
Has Irina's body just been there the whole time?
He says something here. She wakes up and he's all like, I was really nervous when you brought the landlady in because we had to hide in the closet. So I'm guessing he took her and her body like in the closet with him while the landlady was in there.
It's been like several days since then.
It has been. Yeah. I guess he brought the body. Okay. Maybe they left and then he finished the job and cut off her head. And then left the body there for the rest. Because no one's been in there since then, I guess.
He would have had to get a
lot. So maybe he left the body in there.
Cleaning. Whatever they're called. You know, get the odor to go away and everything. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, how long does a body take to start stinking? I don't know.
Right. Also, do they resolve?
Is it like a few weeks?
I think it's like pretty fast from what I've heard. I don't know. I don't know the details. But,
I don't know. I don't either.
Why does,
do we have any CSI people that listen to this podcast?
Listen. I'm sure we have a couple.
Let us know.
Yeah. the guy that the police peg for the killer, like, is that ever resolved at any point? I can't remember that they ever really like why did they think this guy?
I think he confessed, maybe. I'm trying to remember the specifics. I think he said like, oh, I killed her and I discovered her, but I also killed her. So I don't know.
Like, why? Why did he?
I don't know. He's crazy. He's crazy, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean that I don't know. That's one of my unanswered questions from the movie. Like, why did this random guy confess to killing? Because that he's not the one who killed her. It's
well, maybe
other
there
guy.
Were two. Like, maybe he did kill.
Maybe they were involved. But yeah,
maybe yeah, I, maybe I maybe. I mean, it's possible. There could be multiple murders just going around there. You know, yeah.
Who knows? I don't know.
It's a whole town of crazy. Like, if you've ever read a Fear Street novel, there's a lot of horrible things happening on one street. Yeah. Man.
The whole goddamn town full of losers. That's what I'm looking
for. Jesus. Zing! Fries are up.
Zing. So
she is now, Julia is on the bed with Mr. Crazy Watcher Man standing over her with a knife. And he's explaining, you know, the whole thing. And then Francis comes back home and he sees that Julia has suitcases that are like half packed on the bed. And he's like, what's going on here? And then back in Irina's apartment, Julia gets her throat slit by the watcher. And she's like trying to crawl to the gun and the coffee table, but she does not make it there. Like she looks like she's dead.
Yeah.
And the watcher just kind of sits there next to her and it's like, you're dead. And then Francis calls Julia's phone and hears it through the wall. And she's like, oh, so she must be at Irina's place. And he walks outside and sees the watcher leaving Irina's apartment. And he's like, oh, what are you doing here? And he's like walking towards him. And you think he's going to like pounce and like beat him up or something. And then kablam!
Kablooey!
The watcher has been shot. And then kablam! He's shot again. And then Julia just walks out with this gun, just blood gushing from this wound. Yeah. This is my main problem with the movie. Yeah. She is cut in a way where blood is literally gushing out. Like, she would be dead. She'd be dead on the carpet.
I'd be interested to ask, Chloe here, why that decision was made. Like,
it almost feels like a reshoot. Like, I feel like maybe she originally was supposed to die. He gets away with it, and it's like a cautionary tale of like, believe your wife, you know? And it's like the last minute of this movie sort of takes me out a bit, but the rest of it is so good
it
doesn't bother me as much as it should.
Me neither. And I do like that, like, for a moment you almost think Francis is going to be like the savior and like save her or like come in and or is going to get killed or something. And then it's just like, oh, actually he's useless. Like, he has been the whole movie. Like, he literally... Like, you think he's going to show up and, like, do something, but he's useless.
I do love the last two shots of the film, which is just reaction shots of Francis and Julia. And he's just like splattered with blood. And he's like, yeah. And she just looks at him like, told you so. And that's the end of the movie.
Yep. Told you so.
I do like that, at least. Yep. But yeah, it's, I feel like maybe her wounds could have been a little more superficial sell the fact that she rises from the dead, essentially, at the end. I mean, because she is gushing blood.
Yeah.
It's bad. Like, she's not going to make it through that. Like, even after shooting him and killing him, she's going to be dead in, like, 5 seconds.
Right. Like, they maybe could have shown concerned. Her, like, shoot and then just, like, pass out herself or something. And but I get, they're trying to wrap up the movie or whatever, but it's, you know, yeah.
Did she, like, grab a pillowcase and use it as a tourniquet on her neck or something? I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
It just seems like she's not in a good place.
Yeah.
She's not going to make it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fun.
Only things about the movie, too. There are a couple loose plot threads, like I said, with the killer, random guy not confessing, and the Chekhov's gun is kind of just there, which, okay, there are plenty of movies when they're.
Oh, know, of course.
There's things like that. And I think, I don't know. Personally, I could have used, like, maybe one or two more story beats in places, but. It's really effective thriller for what it is, and
absolutely,
so really solid. So go check it out, folks, if you have not seen it.
Yeah,
hopefully you have, because again, once again, we spoiled the whole thing. But
we did. I don't. I would be surprised to learn if there were people who listen to this. I mean, because
maybe
any podcast where they talk about movies, they're gonna mention everything. They're gonna mention the opening and the ending and everything that happens in between. And why would you want to listen to that before you've seen the movie?
Right.
Why?
Absolutely.
I don't get it. But yes, please go see this. It is wonderful. It's riveting, suspenseful, classy.
Yeah,
actually, very, very little gore.
Yeah, it's kind of very little. Hitchcockian in that regard.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I really like that a lot.
They say everything old is new again, and it's very true for a movie like this. You know, it's drawing from the past while bringing in some kind of contemporary touches here and there, and it does a lot of really, really nice things.
Yeah, I think I've learned with movies like this and The Invitation. These are two of my favorite from the past 10 years, and they're movies that are very light on gore.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm a big gore fan. Like, I'm not opposed to it. But I don't think it makes a movie, you know. It's like,
neither does a huge budget. Like, you know, these movies are pretty single location or just like a couple locations, and very claustrophobic in nature, and yet very effective in that regard.
Yeah.
Even something like Autopsy Jane Doe had some more kind of CGI type stuff a little bit, but still, it was pretty confined into like one single place. And I think these are like some of the best movies from the past decade, and
I think so too.
They're not these big budget, you know, horror spectacular things, but,
and funnily enough, three of the scariest ones.
I think so.
That's kind of amazing, and they don't have, none of them really have much gore,
no,
or, you know, big pyrotechnics. It's very effective stuff.
Yep.
People need to watch these and learn. You can make a movie on a budget. You don't have to have a lot of special effects, and it can be wonderful.
Will they learn that lesson?
Probably not. They won't. Yeah. They will not learn.
Because sadly, these three movies were not box office successes. So it is what it is. But
fuck. That's a shame. Like, these are the movies that need to make all the money.
Right. The paranoia stuff is just, I think that's always the stuff that I relate to the most in these movies.
Yes, other favorite. Than
the pacing and stuff. But yeah, I mean, even we talked about, like, we did the body snatcher stuff. It's kind of a similar thing there, where it's like, you just don't know who to trust or who to believe.
Yeah.
And it's just a very universal thing, especially in these very polarized times where we're all kind of at each other's throats. And like, I don't know if that guy in the store is going to go, I don't know, do something shitty later on in a white supremacist group or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you just don't know who to, like, you know, trust.
It's really scary stuff. It gets under your skin. And I think that's my favorite kind of horror too. It's just this very, I don't know. It's the paranoia and the, the sort of, you know, the gaslighting and...
Yeah, the gaslighting is really interesting, yeah.
Because I'm sure at some point, well, most of us at some point have just thought, you know, maybe I am just crazy. There are multiple times a week where I'm like, I think I might just be insane.
Right.
I should just be locked away.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like a constant thing for me. It's just like, maybe I'm just imagining that person said something nasty. Maybe it was just the tone didn't land right.
It's even worse for women, because I mean, they're just treated absolutely a lot of times as, I don't know, secondary citizens in general, of like, mm-hmm. you know, of, oh, you're just crazy. You should be, you know, working your ass off all day, and you shouldn't complain about this and blah, blah.
Right.
It's just, yeah, it's constant gaslighting for women in particular. So
absolutely.
I think it's also nice to see that play out on any sort of movie. And again, this is not like a new thing. This has been going on,
you
know,
decades
and decades and decades. You know, Rosemary's Baby, like, one of my favorite horror films
the
of
gold
all time.
Standard.
It's like the gold standard for this. So it's you know, but yeah, and it was cool to see a movie like this actually directed by a woman too, because a lot of the mm-hmm. ones in the past had been directed by dudes and stuff. So it was nice to see that as well. So.
Oh, it's just beautifully directed. I think everything about this is just genius.
I wonder what she's doing next. I don't know. I'll be curious to see.
Whatever it is, I don't care if it's like, you know, the Muppets Take the Bathhouse. I will be there.
Muppets Take the Bathhouse.
Actually, that sounds great. That sounds like a masterpiece of a movie. But
set in the 80s.
I will be there.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't see too much on her wiki page here, but hopefully she gets something else out of this, because yeah, it's a great
I
movie.
Hope so.
And I think, like, it you said, time just... will be kinder to it than
This one's gonna, I can see it now, 20 years from now some label's gonna be like 20th anniversary edition for Watcher. I can just see it. I just know this will be one that people are going to be talking about and rewatching.
We'll be like, I always said that was underrated back in the
time. That was my favorite in 2022. It was a different time. That was back when we had this place called movie theaters. They're gone. You know that scene where she walks in that big dark room where there's those people?
That
was
a
movie theater. And when I was a child, it was about $4 to get in, and then it was about 10, and sometimes it was close to 20 at the end there, because they were trying to make money before they shut down, sadly, in 2026.
Oh.
They're all gone now.
Okay, Grandpa.
Oh, if only you knew. It was a beautiful time. Let me tell you about video stores.
Put down that virtual reality set and let me tell you a couple stories about my local video store.
Have you heard about a chain called Bennigan's? They had a Monte Cristo sandwich that would make you slap your mama. It was so good. They're not going to know. They're going to be like, why is she in that dark room with these people?
No.
I don't get it.
It's be something sad. That people used to do. They sit in these dark rooms.
Gosh, yes, we did.
We did.
We were transported to another world, and it was beautiful. Such a good movie. I'm so glad this exists. It's just, I love everything about it. I was so scared to watch it last night, because it was my first time to watch it since I saw it in theaters, and I was like, mm-hmm. is this going to not hold up? Is it not going to be as effective? And I am happy to say that there's a shot in this movie that made me shriek in the theater, and it made me shriek again. I think it's the second time she sees him watching across the way.
Uh-huh.
And there's something about the way it's lit. Yeah. Like, you can see, you can almost kind of see his face, but it looks like a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And I it's so scary. I can't. It's so fucking terrifying. I was like, I was like, no, I don't want to see it again. Yeah. I don't want to see it. Don't cut back to it. Don't cut back.
Yeah.
I love when a movie can do that. It's
simple but effective.
Yeah. Simple's the best sometimes.
Books. I have an overlooked gem for today.
Oh, it is your turn.
It is my turn. I believe I mentioned this when we were talking about the best movies of 2022.
Oh.
But this is another Micah Monroe movie called Significant Other.
Oh, yeah.
Released the same year. They just popped it onto Paramount Plus, so I think a lot of people did not see it. But definitely worth checking out here. It starts out kind of like a slow burn thriller, similar to this. But it's about this couple, played by Micah and Jake Lacey, who folks probably know from like The White Lotus. And White Lotus. A lot of indie stuff. I think he was on The Office at one point or something too, but he's been in a ton of things.
He's just on that Annette Bening, Sam Neill show, right? That's on like Peacock or something.
Mm-hmm. Apple. Apple's Never Fall, which I've heard is not something. Great, but whatever.
I did too. It looked really good too, which is a shame.
Disappointing. But yeah, so in this movie, this couple, young couple, they go on a back-tripping trip through the Pacific Northwest. So a lot of the movie, the first half of the movie is kind of just them walking through this heavily forested area, and they're kind of bickering with each other a little bit. And you get a sense that maybe he's more into her than she is to him. Like, she might break up with him at some point, but he is probably going to propose to her at some point. And the whole thing is just really kind of awkward. But then, and again, this is one of those movies just really hard to talk about because there's a big shift like halfway through the movie. And the movie just becomes this totally different thing. So I don't want to tell anyone much more than that. But it is that very interesting sense of like having the rug pulled out from underneath you and thinking, okay, I've seen this movie before. It's just this couple bickering in the woods. Okay. But something really, fucking nutty happens. And you will probably either hate it or love it. It's one of those things because it is such a big shift in tone. But I had fun with it. I thought it was a good time. And so I recommend checking it out. And Micah Monroe is great in it, as she always is, as we said, with this movie and everything else she's been in. Check it out if you have a Paramount Plus subscription. Maybe it'll pop up somewhere else at some point, too, but it's out there.
Man, yeah. Micah just, she's given us so much in such a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And aren't they doing a sequel to It Follows? Like, follow.
Yeah, we'll see about
it
that.
It still follows.
Can we?
It will always follow.
Can we do something different than just like pushing them in a pool or wherever they fucking killed them in the first one?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, that's a movie I really liked the first half a lot.
The vibe is great.
Brilliant. Yeah. And then it lost me somewhere in the middle, and I just kind of was like, I think I'm going to go down for sleepy time now. And then I came back, and I was like, why are they in a pool? I don't know what's happening.
It lost me more toward the end, with the pool stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that needed to be fleshed out a little bit. And maybe they will for this next one, but I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm curious enough. Like, I liked it enough to be like, I'll check out the sequel, maybe.
Yeah. We'll see.
Because sometimes a sequel can be better than the first one. Every now and then.
Sometimes.
Like, you've got,
sometimes.
Like, When a Stranger Calls Back. Mm-hmm. It's better. It's a better movie, I think.
Yeah.
It's rare.
It is rare.
But every now and then.
It can happen.
You got to have hope. You got to have those dreams. Keep them alive.
Mm-hmm. This was a fun month. I'm glad we did this series.
I am too. Good, solid list of movies.
Yeah. Thank you, women directors and writers.
Thank you.
For your many, many contributions to this genre.
Thank you for making your films. We love them so, and we love you too. We thank you for your artistic integrity. Thank you for making your films. Do, 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 do.
Okay, wrap it up.
Okay. Oh, they gave me the vaudeville hook. Oh, I better get out of here.
Oh.
And now we have the musical stylings of Fanny Bryce.
It's just nice to see so many women filmmakers like finally getting to make these movies too. It's like there have always
absolutely
been women like Deborah Hill and stuff that were heavily involved in these movies and never got the credit they deserved. So it's nice to see so many women finally getting to be behind the camera and actually, you know, getting
absolutely
the credit and everything. So,
and also, like I said, I think it's interesting that these last two films we covered are, in my opinion, two of the scariest movies of the past 10 years, both made by women. Interesting. It's kind of like when these dudes are like, I don't think chicks can really be funny. Right. I don't think chicks can really be scary. I'm like, well, Exhibit A and Exhibit B right here.
Sure, sure.
Two of the scariest fucking movies the past 10 years made by women. So suck it.
Yeah. It's true. But... alas, we will see what we have planned for April. I don't know yet.
We have no idea. We are in the dark.
We literally have no idea.
We are like Julia wandering the streets of Romania. Yeah. We're very lost. We're very confused.
Yeah.
We just want to find a movie house to go see an Audrey Hepburn picture.
I can't even tell if you're speaking English anymore, Chris, or if it's
I don't know either. I really don't know. I think it's English, but I'm not 100% sure.
Who can say? But yeah, we will figure that out. And as always, you can follow us, Facebook and Twitter, HOHH Podcast. We are on Instagram at Homos and Haunted Hill. You can find us on iTunes if you would like to leave us a review. Thank you to those who have. If you use Google Podcasts like me, make sure you transfer all your podcasts soon because they're getting ready to shut down the whole app, which is fucking stupid.
What? Oh,
yeah,
that's weird.
This is dumb. So I guess I'm gonna have to find a new podcast app. What do you use? I use Spotify. Maybe I use Spotify.
I usually just use the iTunes thing.
The iTunes? I don't have an Apple product, so I'll have to figure that out. Oh. But yeah.
Well, that's your own problem, Kevin.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's weird. I've got like a Samsung phone, but I have a little iPod thing. That's usually where I get my podcasts.
You have an iPod?
From because yeah, I've got like a little iPod.
They still make iPods?
I do. Well, it's old, but
I'm okay. I think they discontinued.
It's not brand new, but it's it gets the job done.
Okay, yeah,
yeah. That's just what I tend to listen to the moment because it's portable. I can take it with me to work and be like, I need something to pass the time. Let me put on a podcast, and
it doesn't drain your phone battery. I guess that's nice.
No, it's not bad.
I just listen to on my phone, but now, like I said, I'm gonna have to find a new app. So let me know, folks, what you like to use. I'll probably just use Spotify or something, but.
That should work, right? I would think.
Yeah. But yeah. Otherwise, happy spring. And
yeah, spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung. So they say. And yeah. Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah. Peace out.